আলহামদুলিল্লাহ রাব্বিল আলামিন ওয়া সালাতু ওয়া সালামু আলা সাইয়্যিদিল মুরসালিন আম্মা বা'দ ফাআউযু বিল্লাহি মিনাশ শাইতানির রাজীম বিসমিল্লাহির রহমানির রহিম সালাতু ওয়া সালামু আলাইকা ইয়া রাসূলুল্লাহ ওয়া আলা আলিকা ওয়া আসহাবিকা ইয়া হাবিবাল্লাহ আসসালাতু ওয়া সালামু আলাইকা ইয়া নাবিয়াল্লাহ وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Honorable brothers in attendance and viewers of Madini channel, there are many excellences related to sending salawat and salam upon the best of creation, our hope for salvation, our intercessor, our master, Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. In one narration, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Sallu alayya sallallahu alaykum." Send salat upon me, Allah ta'ala will shower his mercy upon you. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Respected brothers, viewers of Madini channel, the 17th of Ramadan Kareem marks the day on which there was the first battle between Islam and Kufr, Islam and disbelief. And this battle was known as the Battle of Badr. So inshallah, we will hear about the Battle of Badr briefly. So the Battle of Badr and all the battles that took place in Islam in that early period, there were many battles wherein the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself participated. Those are known as ghazawat, and it's important to learn about these historical accounts. They show us the struggles of the Muslims in that early period, that just to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just to perform ibadah and show obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they had to go through so much difficulty. The kuffar, the disbelievers, hated the fact that these Muslims are praying to a god other than our gods. The kuffar of Quraysh were polytheists. And when they could not find any answer to Islam, the dalail of Islam, they would go to war with the Muslims. They would try to end Islam like this. And the Battle of Badr was the first battle. Sayyiduna Ismail bin Muhammad, rahmatullahi alayhi, he is the grandson of a Sahabi, radiyallahu anhu. Which Sahabi in particular? Sayyiduna Sa'ad bin Abi Waqqas, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. And this particular individual, he says, listen to his qawl, he says, "Our father would say, these are the glories of your predecessors," meaning referring to the ghazawat, the battles in which the Prophet ﷺ participated, the expeditions. "These are the glories of your predecessors, therefore do not forget them." This is mentioned in Subulul Huda wa Rashad. We must recall these accounts. We must study the various battles. What led up to them? What was the cause of these battles? What was the outcome? How did it affect the Muslim Ummah at that time, that growing Muslim community? Imam Zainul Abideen, rahmatullahi alayh, he is an imam from the Ahlul Bayt, the son of Sayyiduna Imam Hussein radiyallahu ta'ala. He says, "We were given information regarding the ghazawat of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the battles in which the Prophet alaihi wasallam took place in, just as we were taught surahs of the Holy Quran." Meaning, the surahs of the Quran were taught day and night to those Muslims at that time. And this is the knowledge they gained. And similarly, the battles that took place within that early period of Islam, especially those battles in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself participated, they were also taught to the youth at the time. the Muslims at the time. Why? Because this gives strength in faith. Tawakkul ala Allah. So many durus and lessons can be taken from the various battles, the accounts that took place. Now, the Ghazwa of Badr, the Battle of Badr, was a battle in which the Muslims were few in number. And the Kuffar clearly outnumbered the Muslims. And if we look at the statistics, the Muslim army was around 313, consisted of 313 soldiers. Only 2 horses and 70 camels. They were very lightly armed, very few weapons, swords, shields. And the Prophet ﷺ commanded them, so they went to perform this ghazwa. Every order of the Prophet ﷺ, they obeyed without any hesitation. That's why they are the Sahaba. That's why they have the highest rank in the Ummah of the Prophet ﷺ. Other key Sahaba, prominent Sahaba, also took part in this battle, including Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq, Sayyidina Umar, Sayyidina Hamza, Sayyidina Ali, Sayyidina Sa'ad bin Mu'adh radiyallahu anhum ajma'in. Many other Sahaba, as you heard, 313. As for the Kuffar, as for the disbelievers, how many people did they have? What's the statistics regarding them? They had over 1,000 well-equipped soldiers and hundreds of camels. Now, if you just look at the numbers, if you just look at the statistics, and you go into such a battle, in your mind, you will automatically say there's only one outcome. The army with the larger amount of soldiers, the greater amount of soldiers, more cavalry, more weaponry, more power, more strength, they will win 100%. There's no chance for the other army. They are less in numbers. They don't have many weapons. They don't have camels. They don't have much. So this is a no-brainer. This is not even competitive. There's only one outcome. But the Battle of Badr showed us that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aiding you, is accepting your du'as, is rewarding you for your tawakkul, then it doesn't matter if you are less in number and the opponents are greater in number, you will come out victorious. And this is what happened. But before we go into the battle itself, how the Sahaba portrayed selflessness, sacrificing themselves for Islam, let's hear a very important khutbah that was delivered by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam before the battle even commenced. The khutbah that was delivered by our Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam before the Battle of Badr. And when you hear this khutbah, you will know straight away that it was this khutbah and the efficacy, the blessings of this khutbah that led to the Sahaba becoming victorious. Of course, it was divine intervention. But the Prophet ﷺ motivated the Sahaba in such a way that subhanAllah, the Sahaba did not look at the fact that they were less in number. They had less of everything. They went into battle. Allah Ta'ala helped them and they came out on top. Let's listen to that khutbah. The Prophet ﷺ said, and he is addressing his Sahaba directly, the Battle of Badr. The Prophet ﷺ said, I persuade you to do the same things that Allah Azza wa Jal has commanded. And I forbid you to do things which Allah has prohibited. وَأَمْرٌ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَنَهْيٌ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continues and he says, Allah Azza wa Jal enjoins righteousness. He likes the truth and blesses the pious people for showing goodness with a high rank in his court. They attain excellence and are remembered by the same rank. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the Sahaba, today you are standing on one of the platforms, the stages of Haqq, the truth. At this stage, Allah will only accept that deed which is done for His rida, His pleasure. Patience in the time of trouble is indeed such a thing because of which Allah removes grief and sorrow, and through this very act you will attain salvation in the hereafter. Rasulullah is telling the Sahaba before the Battle of Badr, that you're showing patience at this moment in time is what will get you through. What normally happens with insan is that when we're faced with a calamity or a great test, the first thing we lose is patience. We begin complaining. We begin losing hope. We have a lack of determination and willpower. And many a times that leads to us suffering defeat. But here Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is motivating the believers, encouraging the believers before they enter the Battle of Badr. He's saying to them, for you to show patience right now, you are less in number, they are greater in number. You have very less artillery and weaponry, ammunition, everything. They have greater numbers. But for you to show patience right now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant you victory because of this patience. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continued and he said, the Nabi of Allah, meaning the Prophet alayhi salam, is present amongst you, who warns you regarding some things and enjoins you to do other things. Have haya today, have modesty today, lest Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees you doing a deed which displeases him. Because Allah azza wa jalla has said, Allah's displeasure with you is greater than your own disgust with yourselves. This is a verse of the Quran that the Prophet alayhi salam quoted at that time. This is a verse of Surah Mu'min, Ayah 10. The Prophet alayhi salam continued and he said to the Sahaba, look at those things which Allah has ordered in his book. Ponder over his signs that after disgrace, he has blessed you with honor. Hold fast to his book. He will become pleased with you. And today, just before the Battle of Badr, test this fact. You will become deserving of his mercy and forgiveness which he has promised you. Certainly his promise is haq, definitely will occur. His saying is true and his torment is severe. The Prophet alayhi salam now addressed the Sahaba and said, you and I both should seek the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is hay, who is ever living, who is qayyum, who is the self-subsistence. He is the one who will help us and we have held on to his mercy. He is the one who we trust and we are to return to him. May Allah Azza wa Jal forgive us and all the Muslims. This is what the Prophet alayhi salam said before the Battle of Badr. This was the khutbah that was delivered. A short khutbah, but it was enough to motivate and strengthen the iman of the Sahaba such that they became victorious. The odds were against them, but subhanallah, when you have the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as your motivator, today people go online, they look up motivational speakers, they listen to them, they have a bit of jazba, passion, and then it dies down most of the time. There's no istiqama, consistency. Here, the greatest muballigh, the best of creation sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is encouraging the Sahaba directly right before the Battle of Badr. Imagine what that did to their iman. Imagine what that did to their tawakkul, their reliance upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A very difficult moment. They're about to face the kuffar. But every single thing that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the Sahaba radiyallahu anhum ajma'een clinged onto it. They took it and said labbaik with their hearts and minds. So from this khutbah, which was delivered just before the battle, the kuffar are bloodthirsty. They went to end Islam. This is the first official battle between Muslims and kuffar. The Prophet ﷺ delivered this sermon. And what did he say to the Sahaba? What pearls can be extracted from the khutbah? Number one, obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every situation. Some people, because something didn't go their way, because they suffered in a particular regard, because they may have failed in something, how do they take it out? How do they react? They say, oh, well, things didn't go my way. I'll just do what I want now. And madhala, they go knee deep into sins. And here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, look, the odds are against you. We are less in number. But this doesn't give a license to disobey Allah. Now in the battle field, in this moment, the heat of battle, you still have to attain taqwa. You still have to adopt taqwa. There's no compromise when it comes to obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. War or anything like it doesn't make things halal which were haram. The Prophet alayhi salam encouraged the Sahaba to stick to righteousness. And he said, do everything for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That you're here now, you've left your family members, you left your loved ones at home, you're in the battlefield. Now it wouldn't make sense to do things for the sake of people. And this reminds me of a hadith in Sahih Muslim, wherein the Prophet ﷺ speaks about three individuals who will be thrown into the fire of hell, firstly on the Day of Judgment. And one of those people is the one who went to battle, was slain, he lost his life in battle. People praised him and said he was a shaheed. But on the Day of Judgment, when Allah asks him about his favors, he will say, Ya Allah, I fought in your way, I died in your way. This was the ultimate sacrifice I gave. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, you're lying. You did it so that people say you're courageous, you're brave, you fought so bravely until you died, you gave your most precious thing, your life. And they said that about you. You did it for people, you didn't do it for Allah. Today you have no ajr. And such a person will be thrown into the fire of hell. The Prophet ﷺ is saying to the Sahaba that you're here now in the battlefield. Don't include anyone else in your intention. Your intention is to keep the flag of Islam raised high. Your intention is to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your intention is to serve Islam, nothing else. Look at the Prophet ﷺ's teachings at that time. The Prophet ﷺ described patience, how patience in difficult moments is what will get you through. What we do is, when we're faced with a calamity, the first thing that goes out of the window is patience. We start lamenting, we start wailing, we start complaining. And when we do this, nothing is solved. Nothing is resolved. The only one who can alleviate our difficulties is the one who placed us in that situation in the first place. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does the Quran say? The prophets of Allah, their aqwal are quoted. قَالَ إِنَّمَا أَشْكُوا بَثِّي وَحُزْنِي إِلَى اللَّهِ. That I complain of my grief, of my suffering only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Prophet ﷺ said, you're about to face the kuffar, hearts are palpitating, it's a difficult time. Do not leave patience. Patience is what will get you through. And in one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam walked past by a woman who was mourning at the grave of a family member. And when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraged her to adopt patience, she, not realizing that it was the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, paid no attention to that. Afterwards, it was said to her that, you know, that was the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam who encouraged you to be patient. She said, I didn't realize. I was so overcome with emotions myself. She went to the court of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She asked for his forgiveness. The Prophet alayhi salam said to her regarding patience that, innama sabru inda sadmatil ula. That patience is at the first strike of the calamity. When you are first struck by a calamity, you show patience. You say, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. You read the du'as mentioned in the ahadith. But what you don't do is, as soon as you're struck with a calamity, oh, why me? Why is this happening? Other people are not as, you know, practicing as me. I offer my namaz, at least someone doesn't offer his namaz and he's living a very nice life, comfortable life. How do we know that that's not a test for him? Allah has given him stuff, but he's not showing gratitude. That's a big test for that person. We should never look at another person who seemingly, outwardly, apparently has more than us in terms of dunya and say, he's doing okay. He doesn't offer a single prayer. He doesn't give his zakat. He doesn't do. That's a massive test. What happened to Qarun? What happened to Fir'aun? What happened to people, the likes of them? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving a respite to certain people. That maybe they'll change, perhaps they'll change. If they don't, they will be accountable. We should never look at another person's situation and say, how come? So here, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying to the Sahaba, they're standing there in Badr, they're about to go to war. He says, cling on to patience. And how patient were they, subhanAllah? Despite having a lack of numbers, despite having less provisions of war, despite being less in number, strength, everything, they became victorious, alhamdulillah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraged the believers at that time to not commit any such act which displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Think about it, you're facing a problem in your life, you're facing a difficulty, and you're praying that it is resolved, but at the same time you're doing sins. And sins are those things which act as a barrier in your du'as being accepted. Your risk is decreased because of sins. So many things happen because of sins. If you read the books that the scholars have written on the effects of sins, there's a long list of them. It affects health, it affects risk, it affects afia, well-being of a person. So here on the one hand, somebody wants something to go his way. Somebody wants to be successful in something, in an interview or anything else. But at the same time, he's not stopping sins. So here, the Prophet ﷺ said to the Sahaba, we're in the battlefield, we want to win, we want to raise the flag of Islam high, make it prominent. We cannot do anything that is sinful. And the Prophet ﷺ also said to the Sahaba, remember the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Quran has many promises. وَلَا تَهِنُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَنْتُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنَ إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ. If you truly believe in Allah with certainty of the heart, full tawakkul upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you're not supposed to grieve, to show stress or worry or concern. You will become victorious. وَأَنْتُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنَ. You will have the best outcome. You will be elevated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if you truly believe. And there's no point grieving then. You're just waiting for that success to arrive. That moment to arrive. This is what the Prophet alayhi salam was saying to his Sahaba radiyallahu anhu ajma'in. The most important thing we can say in regards to the khutbah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that you have full tawakkul. Tawakkul is very important. People run here, there and everywhere in trying to resolve their matters. But if we had full tawakkul, reliance upon Allah, yes, we adopt the means. We live in the dunya, this is alamul asbab, we have to adopt means. But we don't rely on the means, we rely upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We do our bit, but we believe that Allah will give us success. Allah ta'ala will give us the best outcome. And how was this something that the Prophet alayhi salam practically showed in the Battle of Badr? Right after this khutbah, the shelter that was made for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the area where the Prophet alayhi salam stayed, it's reported that he returned there after delivering the khutbah and he made dua in the following way. Listen to this dua that was made for the Muslims, for all of us, until Qiyamah by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He said, Ya Allah, if you give death to this group of Muslims, meaning the Sahaba, your worship will not be carried out on earth. Your worship will stop. Ya Allah, please fulfill the promise you have made to me. Ya Allah, I seek your help. The Prophet ﷺ continued making dua like this until the blessed shawl on his shoulders fell. It fell onto the ground. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anh came and placed it back onto the shoulders of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he humbly said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, please, that's it now, please stop. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will fulfill your promise that he has made to you, most certainly. And then what happened? The Prophet alayhi salam thereafter went to sleep. When he awoke with glad tidings. He said, O Abu Bakr, receive the good news that the help from Allah has arrived. He has sent Jibreel alayhi salam. Jibreel alayhi salam is wearing a yellow imamah and holding the horse's reins. This is mentioned in Subulul Huda wa Rashad, a book on seerah. Now the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam's tawakkul, his reliance, his yaqeen in dua, that's very important. The Prophet alayhi wasallam him said, Ud'u Allah wa antum muqinuna bil ijaba. When you pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, pray with certainty that your dua will be accepted. We raise our hands, our hearts are wandering, minds are wandering. It's half-hearted. It may be accepted, it may not be accepted. That's not from the adab of dua. The adab of dua is that when you make dua, have yaqeen, kamil yaqeen, perfect certainty, complete certainty that what you're asking for, Allah will grant it. And how will He not grant it? Is there anything difficult upon Allah? Is it difficult for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant you what you're asking for? Of course not. Our problems are qaleel. Our problems are small. Allah ta'ala's atah, his bestowal is kathir, abundant. Look at the dunya. Look how many people are in the dunya. Muslims, non-Muslims. 8 billion, maybe more than that. Allah knows best. Everyone is surviving. There's means of sustenance. Obviously, there's different levels, we know that. But generally speaking, people have clothes, people have livelihoods, people have food, people have shelter. Who is providing? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has placed things on the earth for us, insan, humans, to benefit from. And we think that we, one person, I make dua to Allah and he can't give it, ma'adallah. Of course he can give what I ask for. He can give millions times over. His blessings are endless, unlimited. There's no limit to his blessings, his bounties, his barakat. But for us, when we make dua with certainty. So, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam delivered this khutbah, which was full of tawakkul, counsel to be a patient. The Prophet alaihi wasallam told the Sahaba to continue obeying Allah, not commit any sin in the battlefield. Then what happened? Subhanallah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam strategically occupied the wells of Badr. This forced the enemy into a disadvantageous position. Now the bravery of the Sahaba in the Battle of Badr, subhanallah, something to is very praiseworthy. Sayyiduna Hamza bin Abdul Muttalib, this is the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sayyiduna Ubaidah bin Al-Haris radiyallahu ta'ala an, and Sayyiduna Ali bin Abi Talib karramallahu wajhahu al-karim. These three Sahaba, they faced three of the Quraysh's strongest fighters. Sayyiduna Ali and Sayyiduna Hamza swiftly terminated their opponents, while Sayyiduna Ubaidah, though mortally wounded, was aided by his companions to defeat his rival. The battle is taking place. The divine intervention, Allah Ta'ala's aid arrives. What happens in the Battle of Badr? The Quran tells us, وَلَقَدْ نَصَرَكُمُ اللَّهُ بِبَدْرٍ وَأَنْتُمْ أَذِلَّةٍ فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ Surah Ali Imran, verse 123. Indeed, Allah has helped you at Badr when you are weak. So fear Allah, perhaps you will be grateful. We know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down angels. The angels, the infallible angels, they were sent by Allah. Jibreel alayhi salam was sent. The enemies were being slain left, right and center. Who was doing that? The angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Helping the Muslims. And the Quraysh, the Kuffar of Quraysh, were humiliated. Abu Jahl was killed. Many other prominent Kuffar from the Quraysh were killed. The Muslims became victorious in the Battle of Badr. And what do we learn? That faith over numbers. That the iman of the Muslims outpowered the number, the sheer number, the great number of Kuffar in this battle. The Muslims were very less. You heard around 313. And the Kuffar were 1,000+. The Kuffar had so many ammunition, so many cavalry, so many camels, everything. And if you consider modern day warfare, if you look at statistics like that, you'd think there's no chance of the lesser party winning. But here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed to the Muslims that faith over numbers. Faith can move entire mountains. Faith, iman, is so powerful. Also we learn leadership and strategy. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when you have a leader like him, the best leader that mankind has ever seen, then rest assured that the planning during battle will be to a T, will be so meticulous, will be so filled with wisdom. And that's what happened. Also we learn that dua in the Battle of Badr is what helped the Muslims. Specifically the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ad-du'a'u yaruddul bala'. That we're told in a narration that dua, this repels calamity. And other narrations, it even talks about changing destiny. Ad-du'a'u yaruddul qada. Also we learn, and I conclude here now, steadfastness in the face of adversity. You will not find regarding the Battle of Badr that a single Sahaba said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ya Rasulullah, what are we doing here? Look how many they have. Look at their army. Look at their power. Why have you called us here to die? A'udhu billah. No Sahabi said that. The Sahaba trust the plan of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They were steadfast. And they knew that whatever the Prophet alaihi salam is ordering will be the best way. And also, when those who are righteous have taqwa in their hearts, when they do things solely for Allah, when they avoid haram, when they fulfill the faraid, they go to war or they face any difficulty like that, Allah Ta'ala's aid arrives and helps them out of that situation. So, when we face difficulties, when we are in problematic situations, what we need to avoid at all costs is the displeasure of Allah, committing more and more sins. Today you hear it, people say, oh, I was going through a very rough time, and ma'adallah, people end up drinking alcohol, taking drugs, doing other things. That's the complete opposite of what we should be doing as Muslims. When we feel that we are at our lowest point in life, when it seems like everything is against us, that's when we increase our dua to Allah. We cut off from everyone. Say, Ya Allah, no one can help me like you. Ya Allah, you are my Lord. You are my cherisher. You are my sustainer. Ya Allah, you will get me out of this situation. And it's not a time to involve oneself in sins and wrongdoings. So Sahaba, they showed their taqwa in the Battle of Badr. They showed their piety, their righteousness, their sidq, and their iman. And it is because of this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted them many, many barakat. 17th of Ramadan, that was when this battle took place. The Muslims were victorious. Many, many lessons can be attained. I just briefly touched upon this battle. We should study the Ghazawat. As you heard right at the beginning, Imam Zain al-Abidin radiallahu ta'ala and said that we were taught about the Ghazawat, the battles, the expeditions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, just as we were taught surahs of the Holy Quran. And today, we don't teach our children about Islamic history. We don't teach them about the seerah. We don't teach them about these aspects. Whereas these aspects strengthen our iman, strengthen our tawakkul, strengthen our belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all strong iman for the sake of the Muslims who participated in Badr. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raise the ranks of the martyrs. And may Allah jalla wa ala grant us all husnul khatima, a good ending. Ameen. بجاه النبي الأمين صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم